The scripture for today is Isaiah 30, verse 15. When I get to 15, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says: Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. And then it finishes with this: But you would have none of it. So, one more time. This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says: Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength, but you would have none of it. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you. And Father, thank you for the day. Father, I ask you to lead us and guide us through the service, through the week before us, for all the days of our lives. Father, for those that are ill, God, I pray for your healing. Lord, you are the great physician, our Jehovah Rophi. God, you're our fortress. You're our hiding place. You're the one who makes us holy. You're the one who brings redemption. And Lord, we choose to rest in you. We choose to walk in your shalom, in your peace, in your order. God, I ask you to bring order to our lives. Father, for those that are working today, I ask you to watch over them. Even if the drop's shorter to snow, it's still a drop. So keep Aaron safe on the roof and anyone else who's doing it. Protect the people that are working on boats on the docks. The water's cold. Father, for any injuries or parts wearing out, God, I ask you to heal. God, we trust in you and rest in you. God, I ask you to fellowship with us. I ask you to speak to us. I ask you to lead and guide. I ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. In a moment of confession, I always like the confessional part of this. I'm having a small surgery on Tuesday. It's only my 21st surgery, so it's not like I have no experience. I am well experienced in this. Ron's son is going to do the surgery, and it's just removing a little bone from here and also doing carpal tunnel. Oh, and closing it back up. I like the closing up part of it too. But if you want to pray for me, I'd appreciate that. And for us tonight, I'm going to ask, and this is one of those teachable moments. Tonight, I'm going to ask for all of the elders that are present and others that would like to lay on hands and pray for me. I'll certainly appreciate it at the end of the evening service. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. The scripture teaches us in James that if there's any sick amongst you, they should call for the elders. It doesn't say the elders should call on them. It says they should call for the elders. And I have puzzled over that for years. But part of it is you've got to choose to go, look, I'm an old person and I'm falling apart. But the one who holds all things together, I recognize that it's not failure on my part. It's just the way it is. And trust that God can move in the way that He says, when He says. And he says that you should humble yourself and that you should call for the elders to lay on hands and pray for you. So we're going to do that. It's a good thing, not a hard thing. And I would share the other one. Do you believe in the efficacy of prayer? That God set this methodology aside where we can talk to him and he chooses to move or not move on his own, but he listens and he hears our prayer. I do. And having gone through a few of these surgeries again, I would tell you that I took the position, on the first big one, I made a public announcement. In fact, I had a reporter, I was sheriff, and I had a reporter follow me through this major surgery. And she actually got this big award out of it. It was kind of cool. But the main thing is, the surgeon initially asked me, he said, "Why are you doing this?" And I said, "Well, two reasons." And I said, one of them, honestly, is nobody gets to say that Greg White was going to the Betty Ford Clinic for substance, rehabilitation. So they get to follow me through the process. And I said, but the other one is how do they know to pray if they don't know? And if you really believe in the efficacy of prayer, don't be ashamed if you're working on getting healing. Don't be ashamed to ask people for prayer. And I will tell you, there's trees named, planted in my name in Israel because they were praying for me. I had synagogues praying for me. I even had people at a mosque praying for me. I can remember walking down the street and a guy who I did never met before stops me and said, "Hey, Sheriff, at Mass this weekend, we were praying for you. I don't care who you are, I covet your prayers." And I think that not because the volume of prayers makes a difference, but God does hear our prayers. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to seek God in all things. Ma'am.
Amen. Let's stand together. If you have a hymnal in front of you, could you open it to page 138? We're not using any screen lyrics, just hymnal today. 138. Useless lament in vanity and pride. Caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was fault applied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing
remain standing. We're reading in number 41. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and morning were the first day. His hands are the deep places of the earth, the strength of the hills, In his also, the sea is his, he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Please be seated.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to be in the house of God. And so let's have this prayer together. Elohe Mauzi, the God of my strength. God is my strong fortress, and he sets the blameless in his way. From 2 Samuel 22, 33. Let's pray. Elohe Mauzi, you are my strong fortress. You are the God of my strength. In you I find all that I need. In you are power, might, and force. I praise you for your mighty hand. I lift up your name to give you honor because of your greatness. Your creation testifies to your power. The mountains rise to proclaim your strong arm. The ocean depths reveal your force. The moon keeps its place because of your great strength. The sun flames as a result of your own creative prowess. You are to be held in the highest esteem, and I praise you, Elohe Mauzi. Elohe Mauzi, forgive me for doubting your strength and failing to access it in my own life on a regular basis. As a child of the king, I have access to your strength, and yet I often try to walk in my own limited power. Surely you must sometimes wonder why I don't rely on your strength, Elohe Mauzi. Forgive me, Lord, for neglecting such a great gift. Elohe Mauzi, I thank you for being strong and powerful and for being strong for me. You are a personal God who desires to see me live out my destiny according to your calling and the purpose for which you have created me. In order to do this, I need your strength. I don't have to juggle everything in my life on my own because you have told me that if I come to you, you will give me rest. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light because you bear them for me. Thank you, Elohe Mauzi, that in you I find my strength. Elohe Mauzi, gird me with your strength. Make my heart strong and my mind wise. Give me strength to withstand temptation, whether the temptation is to gossip, to use my time unwisely, or to harbor bitterness. Whatever it is, give me strength. Let your strength be mine. Strengthen my hands to do all you have assigned me to do. Strengthen my mind to think big because I serve a big God. Strengthen my resolve when life seems unfair or a struggle. Elohe Mauzi, forever be my strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to give back to you just a portion of what the blessings that you pour out on us each day, either here or online. Lord, we ask that you would bless the offering, bless the givers, and may your kingdom go forth with power and strength in this community. We ask it in Jesus' name.
All these contraptions. I feel very wired up. We're going to sing two hymns together. Verses 122, tell me the story of Jesus. It's so nice to be here. My heart. The story of Jesus, right on my heart. Verse 2. Fasting alone, tell of the days that I have. How for a death was my love for that. The story of Jesus, right on my heart. The cross where and keeping with sweet and Jesus, we're going to sing "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," page 411. 411. "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." So sweet, trusting in Jesus, trusting in Thank you. so glad that Jesus oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
So you all were the choir of angels. Be seated.
You know, one of the ways that we do this in the pulpit is we talk about an Old Testament event. And I try not to use the word story too much because some people think that means it was just a story, just something that was written to make a point. But this was an event that occurred. And then you got to peel it like a banana and reveal Jesus, usually with a little bit of New Testament in there also. But think of it as a perfect banana. And you know, you can drop it and the germs don't get to it. You can pick it up and peel it and it's still good to eat. But the insides are what we're looking for. We're looking for Jesus in all of this. In the book of Isaiah in chapter 30, I'm going to read a bit to you, and then we'll talk about some of it as we go. We're going to end up in the New Testament with a particular individual that we've sung about many times. Starting in verse 8, it says, "Now go write down these words. Write them in a book. They will stand until the end of time as a witness that these people are stubborn rebels who refuse to pay attention to the Lord's instructions. They tell the seers, stop seeing visions. They tell the prophets, don't tell us what's right. Tell us nice things. Tell us lies. Forget all this gloom. Get off your narrow path and stop telling us about your Holy One of Israel." Every time in the Old Testament that I see an individual who says, "I did everything your God said," or "stop telling us about your Holy One of Israel," well, is he yours? Is he your Jesus? It's always a question that sits there. This is the reply of the Holy One of Israel. "Because you despise what I tell you and trust instead in oppression and lies, calamity will come upon you suddenly, like a bulging wall that bursts and falls. In an instant, it'll collapse and come crashing down. You will be smashed like a piece of pottery, shattered so completely that there won't be a piece big enough to carry coals from the fireplace or a little water from the well." This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says: "Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, 'No, we will get our help from Egypt. They'll give us swift horses for riding into battle.' But the only swiftness you're going to see is the swiftness of your enemies chasing you. One of them will chase 1,000 of you. 5 of them will make all of you flee. You will be left like a lonely flagpole on a hill or a tattered banner on a distant mountaintop. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is faithful. The Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. You will be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, 'This is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left.' Then you will Then you will destroy all your silver idols and all your precious gold images. You will throw them out like filthy rags, saying to them, good riddance. Well, there's several things about this that truly speak to my heart. And one of the things is so many times in the Old Testament, you look at the way that God dealt with Israel, or with Judah in this case. And then when you start looking at application for yourself, look how God deals with you personally. And sometimes I suspect that you all are as guilty as I am. Because I'll tell you, there's times that I'm not taking prayer seriously and I catch myself praying where it's a vain repetition. I say the same words and I go, wait, where am I in this? Am I really engaging with God or am I saying the words? Sometimes I mess up. Sometimes I make decisions that are just not the best decisions. Sometimes I sin. And I look out here, and I would feel really bad saying this if it was just me, but I suspect that you too are guilty. And so how do we go about this? One, never be afraid of God's pronouncement in your life so long as you're willing to repent. So be happy when God loves you enough to point out sin in your life. But only if you're willing to repent. You know, when this starts out, God speaking to Isaiah, now go and write down these words, write them in a book, because they will stand till the end of a time as a witness. Well, those people aren't standing till the end of time. We're not standing till the end of the time, but I will tell you it applies to us. When he says that these people are stubborn rebels who refuse to pay attention to the Lord's instructions. And then how many times have we been warned that in the future the time will come where people don't want to hear the truth? They want to hear what tickles joy in their hearts. But it's not the truth. They don't want the truth. They don't want to be faced or confronted with sin in their own life and their own hearts. Forget all the gloom. Get off your narrow path. Stop telling us about your Holy One of Israel. And it's so interesting that when something like that is said, God always responds. This is the reply of the Holy One of Israel. Because you despise what I tell you and trust instead in oppression and lies, calamity will come upon you suddenly, like a bulging wall that bursts and falls. In an instant, it will collapse and come crashing down, and you will be smashed like a piece of pottery, shattered so completely that there won't be a piece big enough to carry coals from a fireplace or a little water from the well. We've talked about Israel, and I have a desire hardwired into me to pray for peace in Jerusalem, to lift up Israel. Does that mean I have to love everything that happens in Israel? No. Only that which is of God. Does the Israeli government ever make a mistake? Sure. Does our government ever make a mistake? Does the city and borough of Juneau government ever make a mistake? Do we ever make mistakes? There's enough guilt to go around in all of this. Does this mean that I stop loving Israel because Netanyahu, who I personally really like? I can tell you that at one point, and this is Greg doing the training thing of where you watch people and you pay attention to their facial expressions and body language. Honestly, the techniques that are developed on this are so good. One of my friends who was a Missouri State trooper who taught DARE program for years, but also worked narcotics, was driving. He was off duty and he was driving down the street and he sees a wreck happen in front of him. He gets out and Ed, I love his last name, Moses. Ed Moses runs up to the car, is checking on people. And this guy sticks his head in the car and he goes, can I help? And Ed looks at him and he goes, well, when's the last time that you smoked weed? And the guy goes, what? And he goes, look, we're not arguing. You're not in trouble. When's the last time you smoked? And he goes, why are you asking? He goes, because I want to know that you're competent to do what I ask you to do. But he goes, how do you know? And he goes, your face screams it. It's just like a person who sucks powder cocaine up their nose can pretend that it's not visible to everybody that has an eye to see or an ear to hear. So I can tell you, sitting in D.C. at the National Convention Center, and a representative is at the platform and speaking, and within 5 seconds, you knew that everything coming from her mouth was going to be a lie. And then the President of the United States got up and was warmly welcomed. And then in about 3 minutes, 4 minutes, people are starting to cross their arms and cross their legs and look away because he wasn't telling the truth. And truth is hard to hide. Truth by itself is revealed as a necessity in this creation. And then Netanyahu got up and he starts talking. And I'm watching the people that are watching Netanyahu. And they're all like, okay, like it what he says or don't like what he says. He's honest with you. He's telling you the truth. Now, is that true every time? I'm talking about that event right there. So for us, we're truth seekers. And so if God points out something in our life that is not good, we don't hide from the truth. We embrace what he said and we repent. We turn away from and set our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's what we're called to do. Again, are you going to mess up? Yes, you are. Am I going to mess up? Absolutely. But I do have the gift of repentance, as does everyone in here. Just will you use it? This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. When you recognize that you've been walking down the road and you've stepped off in the ditch, and if you want to, let's see if you could just find a seaplane pilot. If you went over to Khrushchev Bay or to Khrushchev Island, there's this little bay at the end of Iris Meadows, one of the most beautiful places on earth. And you went out there, well, you couldn't get the seaplane's going to bring you back. You get dropped on the other side of the island on the east side. You hike across roughly 12 miles. You go through Iris Meadows, and the willows are grown up over the road, or at least they were, and I'm by myself. And I'm walking along, and I've got my backpack on, and I've got my shotgun like this because I can hear the brown bears running in the ditches on both sides of the road. Not very wide road. It's a one-lane old logging road. And so you're sitting here and you hear the boom. I don't know if they figure out left is right and right. So I don't know, but they've got it down. And I'm walking along and I'm going, if they erupt out of the brush, I've got about this much of an opportunity to do this or this. I'm going to get hit. But you're paying attention. But I can tell you, because I've also played in those ditches when I've got more people, because I wanted to see. And I got down in there, and it was hard to get down there. It's all tangled in berry bushes and willows, and you get down to the bottom, and it amazes me. The two things that amaze, two animals that absolutely amaze me in this part of the world is how can a moose with those antlers run through willows the way they do? The same way that a brown bear does, brute strength. This brute strength, so much better than we've got. But they do this. So I get down in there, and I'm going, it is so hard to move in that ditch. So what do you have to do? You've been tearing your way along, making a trail. It would amazes me that anything could be in other than maybe a rabbit. You have to turn around, and you have to go back to where you got off the road. And then you crawl out back on the road, and then the walking is good. Any time that you get off the path, it's too hard to walk where God doesn't want you to. You need to back up, get back on the road, and proceed forward. When the Lord says, Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. Verse 16, and you said, no, we'll get our help from Egypt. Now, is it always wrong to go back to Egypt? No. Well, when is it right to go back to Egypt? Every time that God says, then you go to Egypt. Ask Joseph. Joseph went back to Egypt to protect Jesus for that first 2 year period. But if you were to pick up and retreat to the way things were, shame on you without God's direct leading. This all comes down to you've got to follow the Lord. But you got to give up some stuff to do that. It's a hard thing. You said, no, we'll get our help from Egypt. They'll give us swift horses for riding into battle, and only the swiftness you're going to see is the swiftness of your enemies chasing you. Yay, enemies chasing me. One of them will chase 1,000 of you. Five of them will make all of you flee. You will be like a lonely flagpole on a hill or a tattered banner on a distant mountaintop. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. What happens is you get off the path. You get off the road that God has set before you. You get tangled in the brush. You have to fight your way back to where God had you to follow him. He's got a plan. Just follow his plan. And it's not like this is a moment-by-moment instruction book. It's not. But it does always point you to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus. The fact is that in your life right now, you're walking and you're thinking about other things. You're thinking about what's going on here, but you're thinking about other things. Sometimes you're going, wow, I'm glad I'm at church. And other times you're going, wow, I'm glad I'm at church. And other times it's, woohoo! But the question is, wherever you are, whether it's in church or whether it's downtown Juneau or whether it's on your job, wherever that is, are you following Jesus at that moment? Because it's you that needs to come to him. He's provided a way, but you've got to return to him. You've got to walk in his grace by faith, which is a gift from him. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. Once you've returned to him, you'll weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. And, you know, it always amazed me. When I first came to Christ, I knew that God spoke to me. I knew that. He had called me. And people would go, well, how did you know that? And I go, well, I knew that the enemy, as a practicing Hindu, I knew the enemy spoke to me. So I anticipated that God was going to. And when I came across John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. Woohoo! Pretty straight statement. And I thought, well, why don't they talk about it in the Old Testament? They've never stopped saying this. Did God talk with Adam? Did God talk with Eve? What about Abraham? Did he talk with Abraham? Lot? Yes. Yes. Abraham says, Lord. He knows who he's talking to. He recognizes him. Recognizes him. Moses? Yes. How far does this go? And Ron was talking about it last Sunday evening. Good heavens. Think about it. Every time that Jesus says, what are those two words, three letters? I am. Who's he saying he is? The I am that I am. Every time. But go through the Old Testament, and as you're, even if it's by yourself and you're going through here, following that scarlet thread of redemption, the redemption that God is continually offering to his people. And we continually accept, reject, run. But the only way forward is to return to him. The only way forward is to return to him. When it says the Lord gave you adversity suffering, he'll still be with you to teach you. And we know that in all things, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. He will take all of the trepidation in your life and weave it together to bring you to him, to walk and talk with you. Your own ears will hear him right behind you. A voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. And once you walk in the presence of God, once you continually return to the presence of God, then you will destroy all your silver idols and your precious gold images. You will throw them out like filthy rags, saying to them, good riddance. It takes returning to Jesus to truly see the depth and quality of sin in your heart. And when that's revealed to you, that's time to let go of the sin, to not embrace sin. You go, well, what sin are you talking about? And I go, well, ask Jesus. Let the conviction of the Holy Spirit come to you. And then you repent. You repent by turning away from that and walking in the presence of the Lord. It's not complex. And then verse 23 goes on and says, then the Lord will bless you with rain at planting time. There will be wonderful harvests and plenty of pasture land for your livestock. The oxen and donkeys that till the ground will eat good grain, its chaff blown away by the wind. In that day, when your enemies are slaughtered and the towns fall, there will be streams of water flowing down every mountain and hill. The moon will be as bright as the sun, and the sun will be seven times brighter, like the light of 7 days in one. So it will be when the Lord begins to heal his people and cure the wounds he gave them. We have a problem in this country. Do you remember, for all you really old people in the room, do you remember when we had TVs that were big with little screens and you would go up and you would turn it on and you'd step back and you would wait and wait and wait and wait, and then the picture tube would come up and grow a little brighter and we'd all sit around the magic box and we'd watch Broderick Crawford and the Highway Patrol, Lassie Come Home, My Friend Flicka, Friday Night Boxing. And my favorite commercial was Treflan from Elanco, and the guy drove his little Ford tractor with a sprayer behind him. You know, we had those TVs that were just marginally TVs. And then later on, we got to these TVs, you had a remote control that didn't have a wire running to it. And you push the button, and the TV would go, and it would come on. And then we have the flat screen TVs, a variety of them. Like today, we push the instant on button, and it's not instantaneous. And I remember people whining because it took a few seconds for the TV to come on. We're a very interesting culture. We're very interesting people. We like immediate gratification. What if God calls you to walk through hard things for years with no harvest that you see? Ron, can I pick on you for a second? How good is it to have your daughter sitting next to you? How good is it to have Lord's Supper with your daughter? How many times have you had Lord's Supper with your daughter? Twice. Thank you for blessing him. Years. You've got years. You've got as many years as God gives you. What if it takes a while? You know, sometimes, I will tell you, sometimes it just freaks me out. And I can't think of the guy's name. He used to drag a cross around. Evie. No, can't think. That's not who I was thinking of. When he was dragging it through Africa, he would be praying. Yeah, Arthur Blessed, dragging it along, and he had his later on. He had some issues, But he was dragging it through Africa, and he was going, God, please give me a drink. And then right up ahead of him is this track, like from an oxen in the ground, and it's got water in it, but there's little critters swimming around in it. And his testimony was, he'd scoop it out with his hand and go, God, please bless this water. And all the little critters would die and fall to the bottom. And they'd get another one. Oh, Lord, would you please bless this one? You know, a lot of faith there. And going mile after mile after mile. And who was the witness? There were no people. He'd come to a village. And I remember the testimony on one of them. He's got to this village, and there was one person. This one was in South America. And there was one person that spoke English, because he didn't speak whatever their language was. And he goes, oh, God, please make some interpretation. One guy speaks English, and the guy is drunk. And he goes, oh, Lord. Most of the village came to Christ that afternoon. I've never seen that in my life. I've seen where you witness, and you witness, and your life is a witness, and 12 years later, somebody comes to Christ. And 3 years after that, somebody else comes to Christ. And you have to repent of your own lack of faith. I'm going to tell you, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. We're involved in a marathon. And if you don't think you can run a marathon, let's see. I know from Evie's in my standpoint, 73, working on 74 this year. It'll be good. We're running a marathon. No matter how young or how old you are, you're running a marathon. And you're running a marathon spreading the kingdom of God to a world that's dying out here. And you listen to the things that this scripture talked about as we read through this. Think about government. Think about our government. Think about other governments. None of them have it right. There's one government that ultimately will work, and it's called a theocracy with Jesus on the throne. There's a point where we have to recognize that Jesus is always near. Now, is he returning today? I don't know. Tomorrow? I don't know. Is he returning? Yep. Just don't know when. Could 200 more years? Sure. But I don't know when. Day after tomorrow? Maybe. Don't know. But he's always near. He is near to us. His presence is about you right now. The question is, can you recognize the presence of your Savior? Because when you recognize him, it's easier to walk. And knowing when God speaks, yeah, I was sitting here. I was literally sitting here talking with Martha, and Evie started talking over there. And my ears might have looked like they were this big, because I instantly recognized her voice. I didn't have to look to see that it was Evie, because it was Evie talking. Could I hear everything she said? I confess I couldn't. My ears are old. But my heart is not. When the Lord speaks, can you hear his voice? And if you don't know his voice, why don't you know his voice? My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. You've got the capacity. You've got the capacity. When the Holy One of Israel speaks, you have a heart for him. Listen and do what he says. You know, this goes on for a moment here. Let's look at Luke chapter 19. If I say fig tree, you're going to have several ideas of what this might be. If I say sycamore tree, who am I talking about? Zacchaeus. Woo! Starting in verse 1 of chapter 19, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. You know, in the moment I read, the first time I read Jericho looking at this message, first time I did it, I thought about Jericho. Now, what happened in Jericho with Joshua and the walls? We sang came tumbling down, literally crumbled. You know what we don't talk about is all the people that lived, in essence, in apartments built into those walls. When those walls came down, you think there was any destruction of human flesh? You bet there was. Things will happen, and I know this is really hard to grasp, but for those of you that are five and under, you will not live forever in this body. Everybody in this room, yeah, yay and amen. There is a point where you are going to die, and either you're ready or you're not. It's that simple, everybody. And you don't know when it'll come. You know, we were looking back and listening to the things about government or leadership in this last section of the people, how they were responding. Keep your oil in your lamp. Keep it burning. Burn brightly, but keep it burning. Because you don't know. I was reading a little bit the other day, and it said, when the Spirit says, run. It didn't say go back home and grab your go bag. It didn't say go to your basement shelter. It said run. And I look at the elderly lady back here, and then I look in the mirror at the elderly guy, and I'm thinking, I used to run. I know how many knees she's had. She's on her second full set. You were born with two, so your second set is what you got. Now, you know, you sit here and you go, wow, well, what if? Well, do what God says. Do what God says. And that means you should be accustomed to listening. So anyway, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector, not a favored person. Chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree. I don't know what a sycamore fig tree is. Normally we say sycamore. This translation says sycamore-fig. They're two radically different trees, by the way, but beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said. Stop there for a moment. With confidence, I will tell you that right now, Jesus knows your name. He knows your eyes and the way they look. He knows the color of your eyes. He knows the dilation of your pupil, and he knows it from both sides of the lens. He knows the hairs on your head, as limited as they may be, or as extensive as they may be. He knows. He knows you. He sees you. He hears you. He knows your name. Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus didn't go. Me? I mean, Jesus is looking at him. He knows who he's talking to. The little guy up in the tree. He quickly climbs down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But people were displeased. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I'll give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I've cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. What did Abraham do? And it was counted unto him as righteousness. Had faith. He believed. To be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those that are lost. That was you. That was me. I used to say lost as a goat. I don't know if goats are lost. I just know that I was lost. I know that I knew that I wasn't going to make it to heaven. I knew that I didn't know God. He knew me. but I didn't know him. But I also know when I believed. And when I believed, I suddenly knew what Christian meant. I knew what born again meant. I knew what born from above, converted. I knew because I was, and I wasn't before. I knew that Jesus loves me. I could stop that line with Jesus loves me, or Jesus loved me, this I know. Because I knew him. And I knew that he loved me. He embraced me with his whole heart, and it's such a heart. Do you know? Do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that he died, laid down his life for you? If the rest of us wouldn't have, he would have done it for you. You're important to him because he finds importance in you. Probably not the stuff that we look at, but certainly the stuff that he does. There's a lot of things that just astound me. Read the science of God sometime. It's written by a Jewish quantum physicist that'll blow your socks off. It's followed up by one that takes over with the birth of Christ from a Christian quantum physicist. It's amazing, their insight. Scary. You know, light is the defining factor of our universe. It sets the absolute limit in our universe. And yet, did you know that when a person dies and is buried for 4 days, and you want to roll a stone away, their sister will go, "He stinks. He stinks. He's been dead." And you know that dead people, I mean, 4 days dead is a long time dead. And you know that when the author and creator of our faith, the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was, goes, "Lazarus, come forth." The dead rise and they come forth. But there's limits in our universe. That can't happen. And did you know if you were a deacon and you preached in Samaria, because good things were going on in Jerusalem, but it's time to go somewhere else. And so you went to Samaria and you preached and they came to Christ, and a couple of apostles show up and you want to stay where the joy is. And God says, "Now go jog in the desert." And then Philip goes down to the desert and he's walking in the desert, and here comes the Ethiopian eunuch and his chariot and his entourage. And the Holy Spirit says, go jog next to the chariot. So he goes and jogs next to the chariot. And then you lead the Ethiopian eunuch to the presence of Jesus. And then the eunuch sees some water, says, "What keeps me from being baptized?" Good old Philip, "Nothing, let's go get wet." Ethiopian eunuch goes under the water, he comes up out of the water. And different translations. Philip was translated, Philip was snatched. I forgot the NLT's state. It's a different word. But if you go back to the Greek, it's the same thing. He was here, and now he's over at Azotus. Well, you can't say God can't do that, because God did that. It doesn't fall within the lines and the rules of the universe as we know them. I personally think that it was faster than being beamed up and beamed down. I personally think that as the Ethiopian eunuch's coming up, Philip was no longer there, but he was already in Azotus. And how do you do that? I don't know. It's not important that I know. It's important that I believe. I rejoice in that. So what God's fixing to do in your life, I don't know. But are you in the ditch alongside the road, or are you on the road home? Because there's only one right road home, and it's up to you to stay on it. Listen to that still, small voice. Listen to that voice that reflects the absolute truth of shalom. Perfect, perfect order. The absolute destruction of chaos in your life. And the ability to simply rest in the presence of God. That's where you're supposed to be all the time. Ma'am, if you would come forward. We're gonna sing. What song are we going to sing? 329. So if you'd stand and let's pray and then we'll sing. And if you're here today and you're not sure about your salvation, let today be the day of salvation. If you're here today and you're stuck off the road and don't know how to get back on, come forward. Let's talk. Let's pray. And you go, well, that's kind of embarrassing to do. I know the first time I did it, yeah, I was sitting right there. And Mickey Bonner was preaching. And I knew I had to go forward. Never seen a person go forward in my life other than on TV. Never seen that. But I knew that for the first time in my life, I was going forward. I was saved. That wasn't the issue. I knew that nobody was going to beat me up there. And he said, if you're here today and God is moving on your heart, I'd like for you to come forward. And I'm getting up. And Wilma Jenkins from the back, right over there, comes shooting past me, this old woman shooting past me, and just knocked my socks off getting up there. If God's moving in your heart, let him move you between you and him. God, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you, God, and thank you for today. Thank you for the moments before us, and God, please let those moments not pass in a way that doesn't honor you. Father, for Rob, who just is on my heart, God, I ask you to heal him. I ask you to strengthen him to go through this. Father, I ask you to make him well. I ask you to protect Lisa. God, I ask that Helen be made well, and Chloe and Ellie. God, I ask you to protect Jake. And Father, I know that Claire and Camille, and I think John have been dealing with it. I ask you to heal them and protect Pat too. And God, I ask you to bring Jesse in safely tomorrow. And God, for all the other needs that have been listed, whether in Sunday school or here on the bulletin, God, I ask you to help us to pray through as we go through the week, God. Lay people on our heart, God. Show us the way. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And tonight, I believe you're doing, you got it tonight?
I know.
Abby says so.